Please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Hear now the word of God. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives this morning by the Holy Spirit. We know from Acts chapter 17, verse 2, that Paul's custom when he was evangelizing on his missionary work was to go to the synagogues, and for three Sabbaths, he would go to a synagogue, and for three Sabbaths he would reason from the scriptures about Christ. Christ had to suffer and die for our sins and then rise again from the dead. In our text this morning, Paul is reasoning from the scriptures. Did you notice that there are four Old Testament scriptures referred to in these five verses? He's reasoning from the scriptures. He wants us to put on our thinking caps. As Peter would say in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. Let us reason together from the scriptures. As we have said many times now, as we go through the letter of Galatians, it was written against the false teachings of the Judaizers. The Judaizers had rejected the gospel of Jesus that Paul had preached among the Galatians. Paul had preached among the Galatians that a sinner may only be forgiven of sin and justified before God by faith alone in Jesus alone. Paul wanted the Galatians, and he wants us to know who Christians really are. Paul wanted them to know, and us, how we really get forgiveness of sins, how we are made right with God and saved from hell, how we know the grace of Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, to know the gospel, the good news of Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Our text today stresses the point that Paul did not want the Galatians to be under God's curse for their sin. For if they followed the Judaizers' false teachings, they would remain under God's curse. They would remain under God's wrath and anger for their sin. But Paul wanted them to receive God's blessing, the blessing of Abraham, which is through faith alone in Christ alone. The power of the lie of the Judaizers was its closeness to the truth. The Judaizers claimed to be Christians, and much of their teaching was according to the Bible, but not all of it. As we've said many times, the Judaizers recognized Jesus as the promised Christ, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, and they even acknowledged the value of his sacrificial death at the cross. Otherwise, these Judaizers never would have gotten a hearing in the Galatian church. These Judaizers claimed to believe all the truths that other Christians believed. They said that they were not denying the gospel of Christ, but they were improving it by adding certain requirements, ceremonies and standards of God's law to Christ. For the Judaizers, faith in Jesus was not enough to be forgiven of sins. For the Judaizers, a Gentile also had to become a Jew surgically through circumcision and ceremonially by following the Old Testament ceremonial laws regarding food and festivals before they could become a Christian, before one could be made right with God. The Judaizers had great respect and reverence for Abraham, the father of the Jews. Last Sunday, we saw Paul's brilliant argument from Abraham's life that faith alone saves from sin, not faith and our works. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul quotes Genesis 15, verse 6, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It doesn't say, and he believed and did works, but that he believed. He believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Genesis 15, 6 is clear that he was righteous at that moment in his life when he had faith. It was 14 years later, as we saw last week, 14 years later in his life, in Genesis chapter 17, that Abraham was circumcised as a sign of God's covenant with him. So Abraham's own work of obedience in being circumcised could not have contributed in any way for him to be righteous before God. He had already been declared and accounted righteous before God 14 years earlier through faith alone. His obedience in getting circumcised 14 years later merely showed that his faith was alive and real. Again, the Judaizers falsely taught that faith alone in Jesus alone is not enough to save us from our sins. The Judaizers falsely taught that we must also obey God's law to be forgiven of our sins, to receive the blessing of Abraham. Which is why then Paul turns to the law. We need to look to the law then and understand it correctly. Paul wants us now to know the magnitude of what God's law requires of us, which is perfect obedience. And Paul also wants us to see that in any and all of our attempts to be right before God by obeying God's law can only respond to us one way. And that's with a curse, with God's anger and wrath. Because all of us fail to perfectly obey God's law. Please follow along with the outline of today's sermon that's in the bulletin. The first point is that the law curses everyone who sins. The law curses everyone who sins. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. When it says in verse 10, for it is written, it means that he is quoting something that was written in the Bible from the Old Testament. And here, Paul is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Paul wants us to see in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, in all of the Bible, if we try to be right before God in any way by our own works of obedience to God's law can only give us one thing, and that is a curse for our sin. Curse means that we're under God's wrath and anger and condemnation. Why does God's law always curse us? Always. Well, notice everyone is obligated to obey God's law. Everyone must obey God's law. Verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Remember, sin is a reproach to any people. God's law is the standard of sin, whether you're an Israelite, a Canadian, an American, Chinese, it does not matter. God's law is the standard for everyone. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. There is no exception regarding human beings. No person is exempt. The principle laid out in this verse applies to everyone. And notice that it says all of God's law must be obeyed. All of it. Verse 10. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. There is no exception either regarding a specific commandment, no matter how great or how small. All of God's law must be obeyed, and that is what God's law requires of all of us, every one of us. And if we fail to obey all of God's law, then we are under God's curse, under His anger and His wrath and His condemnation for our sin. Sin is when we fail to obey God's law. When we disobey, when we transgress God's law, when we are acting lawless, like an outlaw. Sin is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. In the old cowboy movies, you have a good person and a bad person. One good person's got the white hat on. Cowboy with the white hat, and the other one, the train robber, he's got the black hat. He's the outlaw. There's that sense of being bad, is being an outlaw and lawless. Verse 10, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. James chapter 2, verse 10 puts it this way, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." Stumbling in one point of God's law is when we fail to obey one of God's commands in His law. Every one of us is expected to obey the whole law of God, all of it. And if we commit one sin, then we are guilty and cursed and under God's wrath and anger. When it says in James 2:10 that we're guilty of all, it doesn't mean that if one commits adultery that one's guilty of murder. What it means is that we're guilty of all in the sense that here's God's law and I commit one sin that puts me in the category of a transgressor, a sinner. That's my category, as one who has disobeyed the law. Now, it is very important for us to know that when God gives us commands, it does not mean that we are able to obey them. Pastor Ron talked about it. We've talked about this before. This is very important. This is an Arminian heresy, a semi-Pelagian heresy that traces all the way back to Pelagius against Augustine in church history. Pelagius believed we're born good and we have the complete ability to obey God's laws and be perfect. The semi-Pelagians, the Arminians, the Synod of Dort wrote against, where we had the tulip, the doctrines of grace, are written against the semi-Pelagian view that we may be sick. We're sinful, but we're not totally dead spiritually, but we're sick This is a false notion that says, I'm still able to obey God's laws, even though I'm sinful. When God gives us his commands, it does not mean that we're able to obey them. The Judaizers accepted this false idea. So it didn't begin with the semi-Pelagians or Pelagius. It goes back earlier. This is a humanistic way of looking at things. The Bible is clear that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Romans 3:23. That all of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way. Isaiah 53, verse 6. The Bible is clear that we are all sinful creatures and that as descendants of Adam, we are born with sinful characters. We're totally depraved. The tea and the tulip. Meaning every part, it's total. Every part, my mind, my will, my emotions, every part is sinful and corrupt. That's what it means when we're spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1 says that we as Christians were spiritually dead before God made us alive spiritually in Christ. Romans 3:10 through 11 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. Romans 8:8 is very clear. That those who are in the flesh, those who are sinful and not in the Holy Spirit, cannot please God. They are unable to please God. They can't obey God and please Him. So we don't even come close to obeying it perfectly. The Judaizers, though, say, yeah, you got to believe in Christ and you've got to obey the law. With circumcision and food and festivals in order to be right with God. They're assuming, though, that you're able to. We're not. Verse 10, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So ponder what we are presented with from the Bible. Think for a minute of the syllogism, the logic. God's law curses everyone who sins. All of us sin. All of us, then, who try to be right with God by trying to obey the law are under a curse. It flows from the two premises. When people are asked, why should God let you into heaven? Many people respond, well, I'm pretty good. There's other people worse than me. God grades on a scale. It's a common response by sinful humans. As Paul has repeatedly said in Galatians, we cannot be made right before God by what we do. We cannot be justified by our own works. It is only by faith alone in Christ alone, receiving and resting in Jesus alone, that we get a right standing before God. By way of reminder, Galatians chapter 2:16 said this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So, since we cannot obey God's law perfectly, we lack that ability as sinners. The law cannot bless us, but only curse us, placing us under God's wrath and anger and condemnation for our sin. This is why anyone who rejects the gracious gospel of Jesus, that we are forgiven of our sin and made right before God by faith alone in Jesus alone, anyone who rejects that is under God's curse, is under God's wrath and condemnation. That is why Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Either we will be blessed in Jesus through faith alone in him, or we will be cursed. There is no third option. We either accept the gracious gospel of Jesus, or we reject it. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we try to get right before God in any other way, such as by our own works, we are cursed. Faith alone in Jesus alone makes us right before God. Point two, God's law requires perfect obedience, we've talked about. But he kind of wants to focus on the deception of the Judaizers in verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. We're going to see the deception of the Judaizers when we look at these two verses. But it's important to remember that the most important question we all face is this: how are we made right before God? Job chapter 9, verse 2, asks that very question: how is a man righteous before God? And the Bible uses different ways of saying essentially the same thing. And I want you to see that. One way is saying, how are we made right with God, is how do we receive God's blessing? How do we receive God's blessing? The Bible is clear that it is by faith in Jesus, in him alone. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, from last Sunday, we looked at that verse. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 14 of our text today, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Romans chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Three times it says that we're blessed when we're forgiven of sin. Receive the blessing of Abraham. Says Romans 4, 5 through 8, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And he quotes from Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. How are we made right with God? How do we receive God's blessing? Another is, how are we justified before God? Essentially saying the same thing. How are we justified before God? Verse 11 of our text today. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Either it is by the law, or it is by faith in Jesus. The Bible is clear, it's by faith in Jesus. Romans 1:17, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And another is forgiven of sin. How are you made right with God? How do you receive God's blessing? How are you justified before God? How are you forgiven of sin? These are all saying the same thing. That's also in Romans 4, 5 through 8. When we believe on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. It's confirmed by Psalm 32, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. How are you forgiven of sin? Have you put faith in Jesus and Jesus alone? If you rest in him alone, you are justified, blessed, made right before God, forgiven of sin. Verse 11 quotes Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 11 quotes Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, when it says, the just shall live by faith, at the end of verse 11. It's very important for us to look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, in its entirety. Listen to this. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. In the original context, the prophet Habakkuk, his words condemned the pride of the Babylonians who conquered Jerusalem. The prophet accused them of proud self-confidence in their own abilities and works. Trust in oneself cannot make one right before God. The Apostle Paul was telling the Galatians and us that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, at all times, the just shall live by faith alone in Christ alone. The Old Testament believers were made right with before God by faith alone in the promised Christ, the promised Messiah. John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Acts 10, 43, we've quoted from that before, to him, to Christ Jesus, all the prophets witness, Habakkuk is one of them, that through his name, through Christ Jesus, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired, Habakkuk being one of them, and search carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. They looked forward to the cross, and by faith alone in Christ alone they were forgiven of sin. The just shall live by faith at all times. Faith in Christ alone. Verse 12, the Apostle Paul here quotes Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Leviticus, he's reasoning from the Scriptures. Let's look at what the law says here. Leviticus 18, 5. Verse 12, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. The man who does them shall live by them. The end of verse 12. That's from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Now listen carefully to this, Leviticus chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. You shall observe my judgments and keep my statutes to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. The Judaizers falsely assume that Leviticus chapter 18, verses 4 and 5, this is their deception, meant that to get right before God, we can do it. We have the ability in and of ourselves, through our own works and obedience to the law, we can do it. Yeah, believe in Christ, and we can do it. The Judaizers falsely said, sure, believe in Jesus, but it's not enough. To live, we got to obey. You need to get circumcised. You need to follow the food requirements in the festivals. But the Judaizers failed to see what Paul just pointed out in verse 10 from Deuteronomy 27, 26. In justification, to get right before God, God's law requires perfect obedience. Do it, do all of it, and you shall live. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, ye shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is our obligation under the law, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. But the problem is not God's law. The problem is us. The problem is us. The Judaizers failed to see that we are totally depraved as descendants of Adam, that we are sinful, that none of us who have descended from Adam in the Garden of Eden can perfectly obey God's law. None of us can. Verse 10, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You do all of them, you will live. Who is the only man who has done all of them perfectly? Jesus. He is fully human and fully God. And he is a man who has done all of them perfectly. God's law is not the problem. God's law is holy and righteous and good. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. The problem is us and our sinfulness. And because of who we are, Paul is telling the Galatians and he's telling us that God's law can only curse us and show us that we're sinful. Romans chapter 3, 20 says this, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Listen to Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. The 10th commandment of the 10 commandments. All in the Bible is Christ in all. It points to Jesus. Yes, the man who does them shall live by them. And who is the only one who has done them, all of them perfectly? Jesus. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5 points to Jesus. Not our ability to obey the law. Our only hope is to put faith alone in Christ alone. As verse 12 says, God's law is not of faith. God's law expects one to do and to work and to obey perfectly in order to live and be right before God. But because of who we are, because of our sinfulness and sin, we are unable to obey perfectly, and thus we must not add to Christ any trust in our own works and abilities. Verse 11, the just shall live by faith, from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, is what is stressed. We must put faith alone in Christ alone. We must receive and trust solely in Christ to be made right before God. How did Christ save us from the curse of the law? Third point, the curse of the cross. Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. We know that Matthew 1:21, that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. It says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redemption is the means through which God saves his people. It's also in Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Accordingly, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us. And redeemed was a commercial term. It was a commercial term. term. It was used in commercial transactions of property in the ancient world. To redeem someone meant that you paid the ransom price for a slave. You say a slave? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law? Jesus said in John 8:34, the end of that verse, that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So obviously that can be said of all of us, for all of us have sinned and fallen short. Christ has redeemed us, verse 13. He paid the ransom purchase price for us who are slaves of sin. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The redemption is through his blood. That is the purchase price. 1 Peter 1:18-19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. At the cross, where Christ shed his precious blood and died for the sins of his people, Christ endured their curse. God's law in the Old Testament is clear that anyone punished with death on a tree is cursed of God. Verse 13, here he's reasoning from the scriptures. Verse 13 quotes Deuteronomy chapter 21. Verses 22 and 23. Hear now Deuteronomy 21, 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. When one is hanging on a tree. Ponder how often the Bible refers to the cross as a tree on which Jesus died. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Or Acts chapter 13, verse 29. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Verse 13 of our text, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ took our place. He was crucified in our place on the cross, on that tree. Christ became a curse for us. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, may receive the blessing of Abraham through faith in Christ. And the blessing of Abraham is being forgiven of sin, being made right with God, being justified before God's court in heaven through faith in Christ. Point four of our sermon today, justification, the blessing of Abraham, is by faith in Christ Jesus alone. Abraham was made right before God. He was justified. He was forgiven of his sin by faith alone in the promised Christ alone. He did not trust in his own works or abilities in any way to be made right before God. As Jesus said in John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Justification comes only in Christ by faith alone. Verse 14. And in Christ we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit for Christ to live in us. Galatians 2:20. As we walk by faith in Jesus. For those of us here who have been Christians for a long time, we must remember these truths. For it is by faith that we are made right with God, but it is by faith also that we live. The just shall live by faith. And there's a great danger, the longer we've been a Christian, of lapsing into false thinking and saying, well, I guess I can do certain things that are good. If Christ has lived in us long enough, we begin to think at times that it can be ourselves that can do some good things. When it says in John 15:5, I am the vine, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That is for all Christians at any age. For all Christians at any age. All of us here who have been Christians quite a while need to ponder that. Whether we've been a Christian one day or been a Christian for 60 years. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Which is why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The only way I can bear fruit and do anything pleasing before God is if Christ is living in me at any time. All the glory goes to Christ. Let us rest in him and him alone. Let us walk by faith in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you would grant understanding to all of us by your Holy Spirit. When Paul is reasoning from the scriptures of the Old Testament to make his point to us that we cannot in any way contribute or be made right before you through our own works and obedience to your law. But the law drives us to Christ, the only man who perfectly obeyed your law and embodies life. Dear Lord, I pray for anyone here who does not know you, does not rest in Jesus, I pray, dear Lord, that you would give them the gift of faith and repentance, to turn from sin and to rest in Jesus and Jesus alone for forgiveness of sin, to be right before you, to have the blessing of Abraham, to be forgiven of sin. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us who name the name of Christ to walk by faith, to live by faith in Jesus, so that he, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us and would bear much fruit in our lives to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.